You're listening to a podcast from 702 and Cape Talk.
And as I said there just before the 10 o'clock news bulletin, so much money is lost to corruption in this country. In addition, of course, besides the money that is lost, there is also the importance of holding companies and individuals who are involved in these corrupt relationships responsible so that there are consequences, quite apart from the question of how much of the loot we are in fact able to recover through restitution or whatever mechanisms may be available to us. And that's the conversation we're going to have this hour. And I think it dovetails nicely. Yesterday, you heard on the show, of course, Tabi Lioka was on, Busisiwe was on, Khadebe as well. And both of them were being pragmatic about the reality that the 1 percentage point increase in VAT may not be desirable, but was necessitated because, as far as they were concerned, the money that is lost is water under the bridge, as much as we are all pissed off about the fact that that had been the case. But I'm not so sure whether that should be the end of the conversation. And there was a piece last year that you might have read in Daily Maverick that Irasha Bedian had written, in which he was talking about the importance of holding companies like KPMG, for example, accountable for what they do. So that's one part of the conversation we're going to have. And of course, the second part of it is more directly the question of whether or not we can recover some of this money. McKinsey was very keen to say that, yeah, they'd be very happy through the appropriate mechanism. I don't know what that means, to give the money back. I'm not sure where that particular issue is at. But Sikonathi Mantshantsha, of course, has been on top of that story. And that's why we have both of these gentlemen with us here. Sikonathi, the Deputy Editor, Financial Mail, and Irasha, the CEO, Pan-African Investment and Research Services. Irasha and Sikonathi, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you for having this opportunity.
Thanks, Eusebius.
I want to start at a high level before we get into some of the detail, Irasha. A beautiful conversation I had yesterday with the other set of economists who are just as stunning as you are, but they sort of proceeded to engage the VAT debate from the point of view of monies that are lost. It's a case of water under the bridge, let bygones be bygones. But how important is it for us to not have that attitude and to ask, may we yet be able to properly hold accountable companies and individuals within the state with whom they are in cahoots very often, because it takes two to tango in a corrupt fashion? How important is it to look over our shoulder and to ask questions of justice and even recovery?
It's important beyond measure. I disagree completely that what's stolen is water under the bridge. And if we get accustomed to and develop a culture of accepting and condoning misconduct, looting, and abuse of public or private resources, it's really a sad day in the 21st century. We need to recognize that these companies, these individuals, and these corporations, both in their personal natural persona and in their legal persona, they have liabilities. For example, McKinsey's has looted $1.5 billion. But remember, the contract was for $11 billion. Had they not been caught, they would have gone home, so to speak, with $11 billion. Yes. I spoke with the CEO and designated CEO in our offices, and I told them so in so many words, that it just you were caught. It's not that you were honest and you were accountable and now you want to put $1.5 billion back. But that's not enough. The same with SAP, the German IT company. They haven't yet disclosed how much they've got and how much they would have got. KPMG, likewise, there's a commission going, but the commission is not about the KPMG. The commission is set up by SAICA, which is South African Institute of Chartered Accountants, about the individuals within KPMG. Then there are banks involved who have, in terms of the financial Center for Financial Intelligence, an estimated $7 billion that has gone through these banks, which we know, and they know exactly where it's gone. Then there are governments involved. That's the like of Dubai and so on. So we need to, as a nation, ask ourselves, we know these things. Our banks know, our lawyers know, our chartered accountants know, our ministers know, you and I know. Are we going to just say, okay, water under the bridge? Absolutely not. We need to, in summary, ask for two things, or not ask, go after two things. One is what you've stolen, you must give it back. i.e. 1.5 billion, McKinsey, get it back. And they mustn't dilly-dally. They've said they, I've said it in their face. They've said it to the parliament. It mustn't be a process. Yeah. It must be an action. Yes. Secondly, if you, and this is an example that I use to just illustrate the point, that if somebody breaks into my house, ransacks the place, destroys the gate and the entrance and the whole wiring, and then eventually they find my laptop in a closet, and I catch them as they leave the house with the laptop, they say, sorry, this is your laptop. That's restoration, but that's not compensation. I need compensation for the damage done to my property, and that's natural. These guys, KPMG, all the above mentioned, they have ransacked our institutions. Source, we have to now not only get it back at our own cost, our poor are paying for daily living because VAT had to go up because these companies ransacked the place.
Absolutely.
And had we not caught them, they would have ransacked beyond repair, so to speak. We can't just keep quiet. We need to get governments of Germany, France, UK, Dubai, United States at the governmental level. At the same time, these corporates need to come to pay compensation, not just giving us the laptop that they've stolen.
Absolutely. And what that looks like, we're going to talk about in a second, but I want to ask you a variation just on exactly this question and where Yirash had ended, Sikonathi, which is to ask, I wonder what drives sometimes us leaving the story, or as South Africans in general, because obviously some of our best forensic journalists do keep with the story, but we seem to get fatigued by these stories very quickly. We are very good at expressing, once we hear the ginormous figures for the first time, deep societal disapproval of KPMG, McKinsey, all the other companies involved, and wayward civil servants. But we seem not to stick with the question of justice, recovery, compensation. And I wonder whether that is just the cynicism of a news cycle that ticks over all the time, or whether at a deeper level it's also because part of what has been ransacked is the entire value chain of the criminal justice system itself. So it's very hard to have faith in the state's ability to recover a lot of this loot when some of the people that have been looted and looted from are the ones that are meant to be the law enforcers.
That's exactly the point. On this show, Eusebius, over the past few months, I did say that those that have been tasked with enforcing justice and the rule of law in this country are guilty of treason, are guilty of dereliction of duty. The reason not a single person has been arrested is only because those that have been tasked with that job. I'm talking now here about Sean Abrams and his whole team, the National Prosecuting Authority. I am talking indeed about the police, the various police formations, the Hawks and all of them. I'm talking about the prosecution services. I'm talking certainly about the government officials, public representatives that came on the ticket of trying to deliver justice for the ordinary people of this country, the poor people, and they went right ahead and did exactly the opposite. They actually helped loot this country to the point of almost bankruptcy, if you could have that for a nation. The reason we are not discussing justice at this point, we're merely talking about restoration and getting back what had been lost, had been stolen from us, is because, look, you and I, as journalists and business people in the form of Yirash Abidjan and other civil rights activists, we cannot go arrest the individuals, be they at KPMG or at McKinsey or whichever, including at the union buildings or now in Gandla. We cannot ourselves go and do that. There are people in a constitutional democracy whose job it is to do that, and they have not failed to do it. They are refusing blatantly. That is the reason.
Second, I think I want to stick with you. Let's get into the first case study around McKinsey. McKinsey finds itself in a pickle. eventually it makes this tactical choice.
No, I won't allow you to finish. Mackenzie puts itself in a pickle, does not find itself in a pickle.
Yes, absolutely, yeah. No, that's spot on. And then they throw, obviously, one of their directors under the bus, Vikas, and conveniently pretends as if that was not Mackenzie culture, that he was just a rogue individual person, which I don't believe. I've worked with him before. He is Mackenzie. And then the other tactical thing they do that works for them at a PR level is they go to Parliament, and I watch the otherwise brilliant committee listening to David Fine and being completely impressed by this man's spiel, that this was once off. We didn't know that the processes weren't properly followed between our client and SARS and whatever permission they needed, and we're prepared to give them money. Bring us up to speed. Firstly, has the money been given back to society? And if not, why not? And secondly, isn't there a deeper investigation forensically that we need to do here about Mackenzie's entire relationship with the state since it has been in South Africa? Because if this happened once off and a director was comfortable enough to be involved in the way in which Vikas was with his signature in that correspondence, I can bet my healthy left kidney that this was routine, not exceptional.
It's absolutely nonsense that the attempt to steal money from Eskom was once off on the part of Mackenzie. Mackenzie, for the past 5-6 years, their biggest single client had been Transnet. Mm. How did they get those contracts? They had been billing Transnet left, right, and center. Now let's talk about this once off. The 1.6 billion rand has not been returned to the people of South Africa. That is revenue they generated in one contract over 6 months. Mm. How is that one off? Who in their right minds bills Eskom or any single client 240 million rand a month? Because that's what it is. The total that took that Trillion and Mackenzie took from Eskom. And of course, the gullible people that we are, even those that represent us in Parliament, those that are very quick to forgive and not get to the part about justice, sit there and are amazed at the guy dressed in fancy suits, dare I say, paid with stolen money from Eskom. That's just what it is. Mm. Not a cent of that money has been returned, let alone the interest.
So why not? What's Mackenzie's excuse? Because they pretended that they were ready.
Mackenzie has said it is ready to return the money, just waiting for Eskom to claim it back. Now, Eskom has not claimed it. Well, has now claimed it back 2 weeks ago. It went to court, because now you have to go back to court and say, listen, the payment we made was null and is illegal, therefore please declare it null and void so that we can claim our money back. There's that formal process. But quite frankly, from a layman's perspective, and that is where I am coming from, you've got in your possession assets that you know belong to your neighbor, and you know where to find him. Return the money. It's that simple. Why do you need a formal court process when you have already agreed that our contract and the processes through which we agreed on that contract is null and void and is illegal? Return the money. Now the money is stuck in a trust, and this is just 1 billion rand, stuck in a trust at Bowman's, the law firm, waiting for a court to finally say that contract is null and void, will return it. And they are hoping for that part only. There's another part. The judge should be able to say that contract is illegal. Whoever committed Eskom into that contract needs to be prosecuted. Whoever on the part of Mackenzie and whoever else was involved in there committed a crime, and we need prosecution. That is the justice part.
Why is the state so tardy? We've got pressure on the fiscus. We need this money. We're doing really weird things like choosing regressive ways of trying to plug the gap instead of making the state efficient and to recover this kind of money. Surely the political climate is on its side to get on with it?
Exactly. I think apart from the law enforcement agencies, there's also National Treasury here, which should have done a much better job. I know we are in between ministers. We had one minister giving the budget, another minister enforcing the budget. it's a bizarre situation, but I really firmly believe, and I'm almost prepared to to at no cost take on the task, that if the Minister of Finance brought these guys around the table and say, you have landed us where we are, not on your own, yes, with the help of our local players, but you are half of the game, half of the, because there's, when there's a corrupted, there's a corruptor.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's a well-established name. McKinsey, KPMG, by tomorrow morning, I want $30 billion in our account because I'm not prepared to increase the VAT, push our working class and the poor who are already on the brink, literally, just because you have decided that it's okay to charge $270 million per month, trillion, come here. Yes, there's a legal
for
case.
For doing nothing. Please.
Yes, for doing nothing, absolutely.
Issa, come here. You have to bring it back, and I want it by Monday. And I like actually McKinsey or KPMG or SAP to tell the minister we won't. They know what it means for their business. They don't. So it's not just law enforcement agencies. We have gotten into a culture of...
But what explains the inertia?
Well, I'm not a political analyst, but I really I am frustrated beyond limit. That's why I write this thing to say, guys, we cannot promote this culture. We cannot inculcate in our next generation that it's okay when they steal from you. Make a noise, make a march, toto, and then let them still do business with you. Still SAP is doing business in this country at mega scale with corporate and private. I want our corporates, banks, all of the corporates, all the listed entities particularly, who are 80% users of SAP, to call SAP and say, we are not paying taxes.
Yes.
Because your shenanigans have cost our companies, our shareholders, our pension funds, additional taxation. Why? Why do we let them loot and then allow them in daylight again to impose tax on me, you, and the working class? I reject
absolutely. 24 minutes after 10, critically important conversation. There's justice, economic justice for you and I. We've been stolen from by corporates, individuals within those corporates in cahoots with many within the state. That is the corrupt relationship. And that element is often missed, the relational element, when we think that the state has a monopoly on corruption. And now the question is, how can we get that money back and get justice for you and I? What are your thoughts, your questions for Iraj and Sekonati? 011-883-0702 in Johannesburg. Give us a call in Cape Town, 021-446-0567. Also, just your sentiment. Do you think the prospects are decent of you and I managing to get that money back? That's quite apart from, I think, the other taller order, which is seeing some of these guys arrested and in court for what they have done, which indeed, as Sekonati rightly says, is absolutely criminal. On the other side of this break, we're going to talk a little bit about ethics and how so many companies who do business with the KPMGs hide spuriously behind what a regulatory industry body is doing, when in fact it has the agency to stop doing business with KPMG.
Eusebius Makaiser on 702 and Cape Talk.
Okay, 28 minutes after 10, let's take a couple of your calls. Gary, good morning.
Good morning, Eusebius. How are you doing?
Very good, thank you.
Good, good. Just a question for Sekonati is, we obviously questioning the $1 billion that we want McKinsey to return. But what about the interest that $1 billion has accrued over the months or years? So I don't hear anyone really talking about that. So is that money that we'll also be pursuing, or is that a different issue? Thanks, Eusebius.
Okay, it's a good question. We'll return to that one in a second. Let's take a second call. Ranir, good morning.
Hi. I was going to say to your guest, you say that, you know, you should stop using companies like SAP and so forth. It's living in a dream world. Most of those companies like ourselves have spent vast amounts of money to get the systems going, and the system isn't our company or our business. It helps our business. So despite myself, I'm not going to cancel SAP. You know, the law must take its route, but just to write, oh, yeah, everybody must just, you know, stop using SAP. I mean, it's living in a dream world. You know, for him, it doesn't make a difference from an income base. For us, it does.
Well, so, Iraj is both an economist and a business person himself. Can you answer Ranir on that one?
Yeah, I think, thank you very much for making it. I'm not saying that we must stop doing business with SAP. I'm saying we should call SAP around the table and say, you are doing too much business to stop. Therefore, for your own good, compensate for the damage that you've done. I'm not for a moment saying you must disrupt the economy. Far from it. I'm saying corporates as legal entities have liabilities when they cause damage, when they ransack institutions such as Transnet, such as SARS, etc., etc. So I think, with respect, you may have misunderstood what I was trying to promote.
But I want to push that, though, as much as you meeting him halfway in that answer. I still struggle to forgive Peter Bruce for when he was Business Day editor for a shocking editorial defense, or rather in his weekly column back then, a shocking defense of corruption within the construction sector, and basically implying that we should lower the ethical and legal bar because, after all, without these companies getting together and divvying up different stadia, we could not have hosted the World Cup. I cannot imagine an analogous column entry justifying why corruption between public sector players is necessary in order to bring about some social outcome.
That's a misguided concept, quite frankly. I mean, it's the same thing. A variation on that argument is now being sort of floated around, that because we need the four big audit firms, we cannot see one of them go under.
Yeah.
That's just a nonsensical debate. That means we should always put up for some or other reason. So I think these are completely misguided. Far from it, we need to promote, with the help of social and legal regulatory framework, for the market to work better, cleaner, and more effectively. At the moment, market has been corrupted by certain practices that these corporates in a daylight get away with.
Okay, we'll take a quick break, and then I'm going to ask Sekonati to respond to Gary's question about interest that had been earned. It's half.
Eusebius Makaiser on your number one news and talk station.
25 minutes before 11, we're talking about the possibility of recovering money stolen from you and I, corruption within the state and in the private sector, and then also justice beyond the recovery as well, compensatory justice, but making sure that people face the consequences. And Niraj Abedian is with me, as well as Sekonati Mantshantsha. KPMG is a fascinating case study of how people misdirect what's going on. Before I get there, Sekonati is reminding me in the corner of my eye, I wanted to respond to Gary.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Gary, I did ask that question of McKinsey, and let's get this right. McKinsey does not owe us 1 billion rand. It owes us 1.6 billion rand. Yes, it may have received itself 1 billion rand, but on the strength of a contract. In addition to that, there's a letter that was written by Vickers on the McKinsey letterhead saying, give that portion, a third of the money, to our great friends, Trillion. We have a contract with you. Trillion has got absolutely no contract. We are owed 1.6 billion rand plus interest. I did put that question to McKinsey. You guys are only talking about the 1 trillion rand. 1 billion rand. What about the interest on it? What about the other 600 million? They said one. They didn't ask for the interest. Eskom didn't. They just said, pay back our money. Now, I hope in the lawsuit they filed 2 weeks ago, Eskom has asked for the interest on the 1.6 billion rand plus the capital itself, because that is exactly what we are owed by McKinsey. Trillion actually does not owe Eskom money, but it owes McKinsey money. That was a contract. Clearly between Eskom and McKinsey, and on the strength of that contract plus a letter that came from McKinsey, which McKinsey is now disowning, it said pay those guys.
It did, absolutely. Yeah.
So Eskom had not asked for interest, and I don't know how anyone arrived at that conclusion, by the way.
I think they might be changing then too, and I just need to get on top of the fact. But I spoke to one of the lawyers involved, so McKinsey is being disingenuous. But there's a bigger issue here, Sekonati, and I'll come to you in a second, Yirash, but it gets me nicely to where I want to go with the KPMG question, which of course is, once you have messed up, ideally don't mess up, step number one. Number two, if you do get messed up, don't get busted. Number three, if you do get busted, just make amends properly. Don't hide behind legalistic processes. It doesn't matter if Eskom hasn't asked you for the interest and the 600 million. Why not give it up as a form of compensatory justice, even if you're doing it just for PR purposes. You know what I mean? So even while being busted, they're trying to get away with paying as little as possible.
Yeah, obviously now being a human being, we're talking about something else here. You are just being a layman. we are talking about people who have come all the way and will go everywhere, will go to the moon if need be to make a quick buck. And that is what they have been doing. And I can assure you now, Anuj Singh, by the way, was in charge of the finances together with Brian Molef at Transnet. Mackenzie made a lot of money there. I can assure you, not all of that is above board. And I know Mackenzie would like to dispute that, in which case they would just do us all a favor and open the books and show us the contracts.
Yeah, which they don't, and they run away from interviews, so it's, yeah. But you made the point in that piece in Daily Maverick that it is not good enough, as the last caller was trying to do, to try and kick for touch if you are doing business with KPMG by saying, oh no, we will simply piggyback on the outcome of what the industry regulatory body finds. Because, and you can explain the detail, that particular investigation is circumscribed firstly. And I think the most powerful point that you make along the way, and all of them are powerful, but for me as a layperson, is that you can decide what to do with your money and who you do business with before a court of law or an industry body has pronounced.
Exactly, and I think that is where I believe, with respect, we're all coming short. And I do not want to reduce this responsibility to law enforcement agencies alone. I believe each one of us as a citizen, each one of the chief executives, chief financial officers, board members of companies, they have a responsibility as a citizen, but also as a client, as a business partner of these entities, to say, you owe us money. Go and make it good. Go and not just pay back what you've looted, but go and compensate the nation. And I believe there is a space in our democratic dispensation, in the global context of rising consciousness about the importance of corporate responsibility and consumer power, to mobilize the society, not wait for NPA to lodge or hoax. We are all a hoax. When we are in a business, and this is what we've done in our little nick of the wood. Mm. KPMG, I look into their eyes and say, I can't do business with you. Not because I dislike the individuals, and you must be very careful also, not everybody in KPMG is corrupt or incompetent or corrupted. Clearly the brand is, much like Arthur Andersen that had to disappear, and the members who were clean and competent, they had to reconstitute themselves to distance themselves from a corrupted brand. The same has to happen with KPMG, with McKinsey's, and so on and so forth. But that requires that you and I, with respect, to stop saying we are laymen and we don't know anything. We know. We know, and therefore we shouldn't pretend that we don't know. Mm. And expect ourselves, our governments, and so on to deal with it. The point I'd like to highlight is that we have a domestic matter to deal. State capture, we'll look into that for the type of Mr. Singh and XYZ. And there are many, many, many Mr. and Mrs. Singhs around. But that the state capture will take out. But this one is transnational. This deals with the German government, French government, American government, UK government. We need to, at the governmental level, say these institutions who fall under your jurisdiction, they have caused damage. This is a point I made, by the way, with S&P, the rating agencies. I said, look, in the rating agencies, I would like to see in the next round of statements by Moody's, Fitch, and so on, to say, yes, South Africa's debt is ballooning. But part of it is because UK banks, German SAP, American banks, and so on, and American McKinsey's and American KPMG's or UK KPMG's, they partly looted a total of 100 billion. So government debt is going up. So it's not just South Africans only.
Absolutely. And I think what we need to also get into is a reminder of the specificity of how KPMG features in state capture. Mm-hmm. Because when people like Rainier, and I'm not banging on Rainier, I'm sure that there are all sorts of advantages to having SAP as your business partner. But sometimes the ethical duty to think hard about who I do business with is something we don't take seriously enough because we don't stay with the detail. KPMG doesn't only, as you've pointed out before, Iraj, feature obviously in the Gupta wedding saga mess. They feature, and I don't think this is an exaggeration, in a subversion of the democratic process in the SARS report. And the most this regulatory body can do is what? To fine them a paltry amount of some 20,000 rand. So where KPMG enters this conversation is in the heart of the Gupta's methods for setting up an opportunity to hollow out the state.
Absolutely. And in fact, as far as the audit companies goes, and I did some research and I really appealed to KPMG and other audit companies to help me. I do not know of any case, at least in my research, I did not come across of any research that an audit company has become complicit in the systematic subversion of a democratic state, meaning destroying SARS, destroying the credibility of individuals such as Praveen Gordhan, such as a whole lot of people who in our institutions were doing sterling job by global standards. When you become complicit in the erosion and dilution of the credibility of a democratic state, that's not just an error of judgment in classification of some audit line or line item of expenditure. That takes it to a completely different order of magnitude. And for me, because of that, we need to make a point as a nation that we need compensation for the role that KPMG as a global corporate played in subverting our nascent and fledgling state.
And that's why, Sir Konate, I take you seriously rather than seeing it as a rhetorical slight when you use the word treasonous, because I think people don't appreciate what's at stake here when they say, oh, no, we'll wait until the regulatory body pronounces before we decide whether to take the money away. Because if you truly pay attention to the subversion of democracy, we're talking here about treasonous behavior and deliberate behavior.
It is undermining key institutions of the state, that is, for either domestic or foreign interests. And KPMG, SAP and McKinsey are both domestic and foreign. They are both public and private. They have helped undermine key institutions. Let's take SARS. You and I are paying 15% VAT today as a direct result of the work done by SAP, by KPMG, by McKinsey, and indeed by the thieves that we elected into government and the thieves that we employed in Eskom and in Transnet and in Prasa and in all these organizations. In addition to that, I believe on this show I have done calculations and said we need at least 100 billion rand to bail out all these organizations, including Denel, Eskom, Prasa, SAPC, you name all of them, with 50 billion rand of that going directly to Eskom. This is all to replace the money that has been stolen by McKinsey. Stolen by McKinsey, I repeat. They've stolen at least 1.6 billion rand that we can be assured of, that we can be sure of. KPMG has for 10 years at least been legitimizing the Gupta businesses, and when you and I, ordinary people, see that stamp of authority coming from an audit firm, we immediately trust that this has been done properly because the auditors also agree it has. And that has been blown out of the water by KPMG. And guess what? For a paltry sum of 1.7 million rand a year, because they said, one, they would refund the 23 million rand to SARS, and they would return the fees that had been paid over 10 years by the Gupta family. And they said that would amount altogether to 40 million rand. So that gives you the balance of 17 million rand that they extracted from the Guptas over 10 years. A paltry 1.7 million rand a year. And you and I are sitting, one, with a bill of at least 100 billion rand. We are sitting with economic growth that is almost non-existent because of the confidence that has been lost on our market. We are sitting with a 44% unemployment rate. This can all be traced directly to the corruption perpetrated by KPMG, by SAP, by the Guptas, by Jacob Zuma and his government, and by the institutions, by McKinsey.
Absolutely.
Eusebius Makaiser on 702. and Cape Talk.
Okay, let's take two final calls. John, good morning.
Why? You serious?
Yes, John, go ahead.
How long are we going to pussyfoot around with these people? Why not haul them out of their fancy offices, charge them and jail them? I mean, we all the nice talk and warra-warra and all the rest of it. These guys must be charged. I mean, they did major damage. I mean, we the public want to see them whipped out of these offices in chains and jailed.
They do. Unfortunately, we are at the mercy of Shaun the Sheep and his gang, getting rid of them, and also Cyril Ramaphosa. Stop thinking that this is the CODESA era and getting on with wholesale decisions rather than this sort of like slow...
Billions can save the country.
No, I hear you. I hear you. But as Iraj said when I asked him the question earlier, unfortunately, there's a part of this conversation that's got nothing to do with economics and everything got to do with politics. Ali, good morning.
How are you? How are you?
Good, thank you.
Okay, much to say about the previous caller. Because the political will at the moment is actually no. We need to do something, and how do we mobilize to actually do that? You know, the thing is that your guests, I've heard them plenty of times on the radio show, they bring up ballot points and all of these type of things, but it's lost. It's lost completely to those decision makers, and nobody is held to account at the end of the day. We are the ones that are bleeding. My budget is completely out of whack because of all of the increases over the last couple of years.
Mm.
And how do we rectify that? How do we put the politicians, or how do we get them to account so that they can rectify what they have done to the population?
Mm. Good questions. I want to start with John's and redirect John's question. I'm going to ask you, Iraj. Regulatory bodies, how much clout do they have anyway? How much can we look to them to help us get compensatory and other forms of justice?
If by regulatory bodies you mean the like of IRBA, yeah, and SAICA and them, very little. And partly because they really have not got the culture of taking to account or keeping into account corporates that misbehave. And when they do, it's long, it's protracted, it's administrative, and at the end, it's literally non-binding. By that I mean, if, for example, after an intensive investigation, IRBA finds KPMG guilty, they'll charge them 200,000 rand.
Cheapest.
Be my guest. And that's really a change in the context of billions that they have extracted. Remember, KPMG became, over the past 10 years, not only Gupta's auditors, that they sanitized a whole lot of things. In terms of the statistics that's available, they became the fastest growing item of their revenue was public sector consulting and advisory and audit work. So it wasn't just Gupta was the tip of the iceberg. If we dig deeper, they are into every element of our state. So will IRBA ever get them? By law that governs them, they can't. So my question, my suggestion and my proposal yesterday to the Interbeza Commission was, we need to change, the Minister of Finance needs to move with haste to change the legislation in terms of which IRBA can act. Otherwise, IRBA's hands are tight.
The deeper question that Ali poses is, what can we do collectively? And I mean, I hear him, but I what does one say?
Eusebius, he's asking, and in this instance, merely a journalist.
All we do is give people the facts. Then you're in the voting booth, and you vote for these thieves, and you reproduce their power.
Absolutely. Our democracy should not only be about voting every 5 years, but it should be about taking charge of the national affairs of the state. I have said on a few occasions that the mistake that was made back in the CODESA discussions, headed by one Cyril Ramaphosa, by the way, on the part of the ANC, was it gave far too much power to the president. Think about it this way: the most powerful president in the world, being the American state president, still has to convince skeptical members of parliament about who to appoint as the
That's
attorney
right.
general, about the finance minister, about the defense minister, about the foreign affairs minister. In South Africa, a guy as unqualified and possibly as corrupt as Jacob Zuma just has he can do what he wants. Fire you tomorrow, appoint you tomorrow, the National Director of Public Prosecutions. That is exactly why we are in this case. You and I cannot arrest Shaun the Sheep because he would have to prosecute himself. A citizen's arrest would help in this case, but we can't stand at the dock and prosecute him. That the Director of Prosecutions would have to do the job. So the whole thing lies in the structure of the constitution of this country. If we had a truly professional and independent civil service, not only prosecution. Iraj spoke earlier about being in between about the finance ministers. That should not matter. Those are policy people. We're paying a bloated civil service salaries for a job it is not doing. The matter about KPMG and McKinsey, that scenario that you painted about calling these guys here should not have been left to the minister. The director general or the person below them could have said, listen, we are treasury people and we are in charge of the monies here enforcing the Public Finance Management Act. Please return our money with interest and a whole lot more. That's what it should happen throughout the civil service. Now we are stuck with Shaun Abrams that we can do nothing about.
Yeah.
Below him, there are many hard-working civil servants, patriotic people that cannot do their job because, again, all the power lies with him. Our laws are structured in such a way that we have to worship the leader. And never did the people that negotiated the constitution think that we would have thieves and fraudsters in charge. That is why we're in this case.
We've got a final minute left. I'm going to give it to you, Iraj. Harry Nell said something at a conference where I heard him speak last year that it is extremely rare statistically to find corruption between two civil servants in low positions within the state. It's usually one person within the private sector, one person within the public sector, and then he untangled what that relational element meant for the systemic nature of corruption between the two sectors. While we're waiting for decent politicians to be elected into office, what should the private sector do better to take seriously ethics? Because it seems to me from university level, ethics courses are like an add-on, like professional communications, ethics for accountants, not taken seriously. And it doesn't seem to me like the private sector, the world over, but it doesn't help us in South Africa, where we have deep inequality and low economic growth, is imbued with a disdain for ethical principles.
Yeah, ethics has become an afterthought and not a part of the planning and part of the daily actions. I think that's a fact that we need to tackle. We need to continuously, and with respect to both of you, I disagree that you underestimate the power of your pen and the power of your mic. We need to, and that's what democracy in my understanding works, we need to continuously focus on the things, write about them, discuss them, create a national discourse around exactly the point that you make. It's not a one-day job. It's not a one-show job. It is an ongoing daily exercise of focus on ethical conduct. And we need to name and shame the corporations that continue working with McKinsey's and KPMG and bring them here. You need to bring the CEOs of these companies, you need to focus on them and continuously highlight that in democracy we cannot delegate our responsibility to our elected representatives, be they ministers or presidents. Yes, we must focus on powers and privileges and continuously refine it, but part of ethics is your and my ethics on a daily basis to be part of this discourse.
100%. Iraj, Sigurati, you've both been great. Thanks for your time. Thanks for coming. Sigurati, you've both been great. Thanks for your time. Thanks for coming in.
That's what
you're right. Thank you very much. Big